This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, your weekly hour of radio drama, brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. First story this week comes from Rocky Jordan. Well, here is July 31st, 1949 episode titled Farlachi. After that, it's Nightbeat. And Molly Keller, his story from July 17th, 1950.
Time now for Rocky Jordan. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's story, Farlachi.
Maybe I should have been carrying a Farlachi, too. That being a sort of good luck charm that Chica always wore. Still, if what happened to her could be called lucky, I'll stick to a good old American rabbit's foot. It all began when I heard a commotion out in front of the Café Tambourine that afternoon. I went to the doorway and looked out on a scene that hit a new high, even for Cairo. The center of all this excitement was a dancing girl in a bright yellow shawl, full whirling red skirt, big gold hoop earrings that somehow belonged on that vivid face. Her hair made me think of the sleek black velvet I'd seen in Cairo's ritzier bazaars. And she had eyes to match. Her dancing was like nothing I'd ever seen. The crowd was made up of natives plus a few tourists who were delighted to run onto some local color. To show their approval, they started throwing coins. I just reached into my pocket for a few piastres myself when suddenly there was a rough jostling through the crowd.
Let me through at once.
I had him pegged before I ever saw his officious face. Sergeant Greco of the Cairo police. In another moment, he grabbed the girl by the arm.
Stop at once.
No, no, do not touch me. I have done nothing wrong. Swear to me, they hit me both.
So, a common gypsy dares to resist an officer of the law.
No, I will not go to jail. These people will say that I have done nothing wrong.
The crowd will disperse. And quickly.
Let me go. You have no reason to arrest me, I beg you.
Perhaps
please,
a few days in a cell will teach you a lesson.
Hey, what's the matter, Greco? Having trouble meeting your quota today?
Ah, the gallant Mr. Jordan. Go back in your cafe and water your wine for tonight's customers.
Look, I don't mind a girl picking up a few coins in front of my place.
Dancing in the streets is not permitted in this sector.
Okay, let her go someplace else then.
Besides, she is a gypsy. She will steal all of these people blind.
I do not steal. This gitana does not steal. Look, I shake out my skirt. See? No money.
Yeah, nothing but the jangle of all those bracelets, as far as I can see. You better flash that badge someplace else, Greco.
An American will not interfere with Cairo police, Mr. Jordan. She will come with me.
No, no, wait a minute.
Such a wild cat as you. Wait, come back. I command you. Come back. Come back.
The girl had broken away. That's where the crowd took a hand. They suddenly moved in all around the sweating, struggling Greco and swept him down the street. It's an old trick, and the Cairenes know it well. And he had as much chance bucking that mob as a camel caught in an elephant stampede. Well, I enjoyed the scene till it faded around the corner. There was no sign of the girl except a red rose that had fallen from her hair. I picked it up and went back inside. I just sat down in my office with a sandwich and a cup of coffee when there was a knock on the alley door.
Please, let me in, senor.
Hey, lady, I thought you'd be clear across town by now.
I hid quickly. I was tired. And the police...
Okay, sure. They won't bother you here. Oh, is this your rose?
Si, senor.
Put it back in your hair. It belongs there.
Oh, muchas gracias. You are a very kind gentleman. If it were not for you...
Oh, forget it. When did you eat last?
I... You do not think I bake, senor?
Oh, of course not. And sit down. Eat this.
Oh, millón de gracias, senor. It is the first in many hours.
Ah, I thought so. I'm surprised you speak Spanish.
I am not Arabian gypsy. I am gitana.
Gitana?
They are the Spanish gypsies, senor. The nobility of all the gypsy tribes.
You don't say. Where are they?
In the hills, to the east.
I think you'd better get out there quick.
No. No, I have left the tribe, senor. Forever.
Left them? Why?
I am through with such a life. I wish to live like other people. In fine houses. Where people will not always call me the beggar and accuse me of stealing.
Are you sure you're doing the right thing?
I will not return to the tribe. That is why I dance in the street. For enough money to go away.
I see.
Senor, if you would let me be what you call entertainer in your cafe for tonight, then I move on.
No, nothing doing, chica.
But for only a few pesetas and a place to sleep.
That's out, lady. Sorry.
It is never mind. I find place.
Yeah, right where Greco can get his mitts on you again. Wait a minute. I got an idea, chica. Hold everything.
Hello.
Millie, this is Rocky Jordan.
Well, Rocky, old son of a gun, how you been?
Oh, swell. Still loading that third-rate jade off on the tourists?
Business is booming, Rocky. What's on your mind?
Listen, didn't you say your daughter was getting married and moving to Morocco?
Sure did. You had your chance and muffed it.
Yeah. Well, how about putting up a friend of mine in her room for a couple of days?
Why, sure, Rocky. Anything for you.
Atta girl. Be right over. I slipped the gypsy girl out the back way and over to Millie Hawk's place on the Sharia Hufan. Millie met us halfway across the little court and took Chica in like a long-lost friend. I was gone from the tambourine maybe an hour, and when I got back, it was almost dark, and I made the mistake of going back in by the alley entrance. Standing right inside the office was over 200 pounds of gypsy. He gave me 3 seconds to take in the jagged red scar stretching from his mouth to his temple, the patched eye, the red sash around his waist, and the knife in one big fist. Then he opened the conversation.
I am Tenasi. Where is woman?
I know a lot of them.
The gitana.
Chica? What's that to you?
I know say what, I say where.
What makes you think I know?
Tenasi see her come here. Where's she now?
Hey, look, supposing you drop the knife and let's
take... I will kill a man who take my woman.
You think I took her?
She, but she cannot love you, she love me.
Okay, we'll keep it that way. So why don't you run along?
Where you hide her? This knife make her tell.
I tell you, she's not here. Look around for yourself. The place is yours.
Why you go behind desk?
Something in this drawer might interest you.
Not the gun!
Before I got the gun, Tenasi made a power dive headlong across the desk. I ducked back, grabbed his knife arm quick, and slammed it against the sharp edge of the desk. And the knife hit the floor. Just as I kicked it away, Tenasi landed right on top of me, and we had it out. It was a rolling, kicking, clawing fight that Tenasi actually seemed to enjoy. But not me. I finally got my knee in his midsection, and he broke away. Before he was on me again, I had the knife. He did a quick retreat to the door.
Can I a single coin, sir? I go now.
Yeah, you get the idea.
You bring my girl. Bring her to our father. For I kill.
Just keep going, Tenasi, and take the knife, will you? Well, what can a guy expect when he tries playing godfather to a gypsy girl? Right then, I decided on a return trip to Millie Hawk's place to check up on our star boarder. I made sure nobody was following me through the dark streets, and just as I got to Millie's gate, I heard soft voices from the inside court, and I waited.
Hi, Petros. I knew you would come when I sent for you. Will you take me away from this place quickly?
Have patience, Chica, my darling. In 2 days, we meet in Alexandria, then we'll be gone from here forever.
I will wait, Petros. Kiss me now, amor mio.
Yeah, looked like I was playing Cupid, too. I'm not one to eavesdrop on love scenes, so I coughed a couple of times and went in the gate.
Who is that?
Oh, it's all right. Chica knows me.
Oh, Petros, it is the kind gentleman, Mr. Jordan. This is my future husband, Petros Varga, from Athens, Greece.
Howdy. The kindness. Mr. Jordan, I wish to thank you for protecting my little Chica.
Oh, don't mention it. You just watch out for Tanasi.
Tanasi? When did you see that man?
A few minutes ago. He says you love him, Chica.
I love Tanasi no more. He is very bad man, like a beast. I tell him so. I will have nothing more to do with him or gypsies.
That way you're running away?
Si. One is not permitted to marry outside the tribe. What did you tell him, senor?
Oh, he doesn't know where you are, Chica. But Tanasi's on the prowl and in a bad mood.
He's a violent man. A terrible fighter.
Yeah, I found that out.
Did he hurt you, senor?
No, no. But I got the general impression he'll do most anything to break up your romance.
Oh, Petrus, I fear for you, too.
Be calm, Chica, my darling. Do you not see that you must hide here? I will go quickly to Alexandria, arrange for passport.
Oh, hold it, Petrus. Let's just be sure.
Do not say that, senor. His heart is for me.
It is all right, Chica. I will prove to him my good faith. Here, sir, is money.
What for?
Please, as a favor, would you buy the steamship tickets for us at the office in Cairo? There is a boat leaving for Athens in 2 days.
Wouldn't you rather Chica got them?
It would not be safe for her. Please, it must be the least expensive. But if you would be so kind. And give them to Chica to bring.
Sure, sure. I'll get them for you.
Oh, senor, you're the most kind gentleman.
We shall be indebted to you always, Mr. Jordan. Always.
All right, then. Mr. Cupid tore himself away and went back to the tambourine for the night. And bright and early, I was down at the steamship office to buy the tickets. They came to £5 more than Petrus had given me. So, like the most kind gentleman Chica said I was, I shelled out the difference from my own pocket. I planned to deliver the tickets to Chica right away, but it didn't work out. Just as I stepped out to the curb, a big hand went over my mouth. I felt my arms locked on either side from behind. I was slammed into an old Model T Ford, and off we went roaring through the back streets of Cairo. Three gypsies were playing host. And while one drove, the other two tied my hands behind me. I kept asking questions, but got no answers. And 20 minutes later, we were leaving the outskirts of the city to the east. The old car chugged past a flying red horse sign at the top of the hill, bumped off the road, and finally parked by an ox cart. Then they were dragging me down a path, and suddenly the whole gypsy camp sprawled before us. Splotches of color mixed up with tumbling bodies of children, cats, dogs, and even monkeys. Women were bending over great iron kettles while men idled by the tents. When they saw me brought in, they were all up and following. At a big central tent, I saw a magnificently built man waiting. His gaudy clothes and jewelry looked right on him. His black eyes gleamed like sword points as he spoke.
Senor, you call yourself Jordan?
Yeah, that's right, mister. What's this all about? I don't like being dragged around.
You were brought here for a good purpose.
Well, let's clear it up. Who are you?
I'm El Chacon, the king of the Etanos.
Okay, El Chacon. What do you want with me?
It is known that a girl left our tribe to join a man in Cairo.
She's got every right.
It is also known that she went to your cafe, that you hit her.
Supposing I did.
Where is Chica now, senor?
She's where you won't find her, El Chacon. All Chica wants is her freedom.
Freedom? Freedom from what?
From your tribe, from the life of a gypsy. She wants something a lot better than all this. I think she deserves it.
Por favor. How you say your life is better than ours?
I can think of a lot of reasons.
Look around, senor, at the faces of my people. Do they look unhappy? They sing, they dance, and yes, sometimes they cry. But even crying is good when it washes away sorrow. You say it is you who have the freedom? Yet you are slaves to your houses and your cities. We may wander where we will. Our home is the earth and the sky. It is not you, but we who are free. Now, how you say your life is better than ours?
Well, I haven't got an answer for that, El Chacon.
However, if one wishes to leave our tribe, we do not stop them.
Then what do you want with Chica?
She must return that which is ours.
Return what?
The entire treasure of our tribe. Many jewels of priceless value.
Are you trying to tell me Chica stole them?
Why else does she hide from us where she cannot be found?
Have you thought of telling the police?
The law of our tribe is sufficient to deal with our own. Now, where is the girl?
And what if I don't tell you?
Oh, Senor Jordan, you have only to tell us where Chica can be found. If you do not, the methods of Gitanos against their enemies is legend, which you soon may learn. And if that fails, we will not hesitate to turn you over to the Cairo authorities as one who harbors a common criminal. Decide now, Jordan, and quickly.
listening to Bar Lachi, tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. For a solid hour of laughs, tune in tomorrow night to Leave It to Joan at 6 and Breakfast with Burroughs at 6:30. You'll find Joan Davis at her zany best and the balding Burroughs chuck full of his hilarious brand of repartee. Don't miss the great good time which comes to you every Monday night on CBS. Now we return you to Cairo and tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan, Bar Lachi.
Well, hang the sucker tag on me again. I take a liking to this gypsy girl, Chica. Find her a good place to hide. I even spent £5 out of my own pocket to help buy tickets for her and a boyfriend to escape to Athens. Then it turns out she's stolen her wealth and jewels from her tribe. Now I had the choice of turning her over to the tribe and their own form of justice, or of facing their wrath as well as the Cairo police. El Chacon stood waiting for my answer as the encampment crowded around.
Speak quickly, Jordan. Where is Chica?
You're asking me to break a promise I made to her, El Chacon.
A promise to a thief is worthless.
Tell me something. Where is another of your tribe, a man named Tanasi?
He too hunts for the girl.
Yeah, why? Because she won't marry him? How do I know any of you are telling me the truth?
You wish then for the Cairo police to decide.
I'm just asking why you don't look up Tanasi. How do you know that crazy brute didn't take your jewels?
No moment, you are still here. You call my son crazy brute? I scratch your eyes out.
Silencio, quédate quieta. It is true, old woman. Tanasi is crazy brute.
You speak so of my son, for that you will see.
I looked at El Chacon, expecting him to break it up on the double. Instead, he seemed greatly amused, even when the two women began pounding and clawing each other, even when other women pitched into the battle, and even when the men took sides and turned on each other. In less time than it takes to tell, every man, woman, child, dog, and cat had joined in, all except El Chacon. Even he had forgotten about me, and I found myself in the middle. I lost my balance and stumbled over backward into the thick of the battle. With my hands tied, I couldn't do much, and I fell under a dozen feet. All I could do was roll. Something else fell and started to roll just then, a nice shiny knife. I threw myself over so that my hand held the hilt. In a few seconds more, I was behind a tent as the battle still raged. In less time than that, I had my hands free and was running. I didn't stop running till I was over the hill and well into the outskirts of Cairo. Well, there were a lot of things I had to clear up with Chica right then. So when I finally found a taxi, I headed for Millie Hawk's place. Millie was pacing the court when I opened the gate.
Oh, Rocky, have you seen Chica?
No, but I want to see her right now. Where is she?
I don't know. I was away only for a minute, and when I came back, she was gone.
How long ago was that?
Over 2 hours, Rocky.
Yeah, looks like you can forget her, Millie.
What do you mean, Rocky? She's bound to come back. She left your stuff here.
Huh? Let me see it, huh?
Okay, come on. It isn't much, just the stuff tied in this shawl.
All right, give it to me.
It's all she had in the world. She was such a sweet little thing. I just knew I shouldn't let her. Mercy me, what are those?
Something I hoped I wouldn't find. Ever see rubies before?
Rubies?
Yeah, and there's plenty more to go with them someplace.
But I thought the poor
girl... Right. See you later, Millie.
Let me know if you find her, Rocky.
Yeah. Well, that wrapped it up. All El Chacon had told me was right. I'd been protecting a common thief. I took Chica's stuff and went back to the tambourine. Back in my office, I reached for the phone, but it went out. Yeah?
Jordan, this is Captain Sabayam.
Oh, just about to call you, Sam.
I am sure you were. We have a great deal to talk about.
A guy named El Chacon been talking to you already?
Indeed he has. A warrant has been signed for your arrest for protection.
Yeah, I know. A gypsy girl stole the tribe's jewels, and I've been hiding her.
Is this a confession, Jordan?
On every count, Sam. I'll be right down.
That will save me the trouble of sending for you. I can count on you then.
Oh, I'll be there. Bring something with me.
Bring what, Jordan?
I won't tell you now. Only it sparkles.
Are you trying to tell me you had the jewels?
It's possible. And maybe I'll have something else.
Now what are you talking about?
That remains to be seen, Sam. Just dust out your best cell and sit tight. I knew if that cell wasn't going to be for me, I'd better do some quick cleaning up. I remembered the big gypsy Tanasi had said I'd find him at the Harbada, sort of a Cairo counterpart of an American flophouse.
So in a hunch, I took a detour down that way. I found out he had a little room all to himself on the third floor. So I got up the stairs, found the door, and knocked. There was no answer, so I tried the knob. It was locked, so I came up with my heel. The rickety door lock snapped on the first try, and I went in. Yeah, standing back to the wall at the far side of the room was my little gypsy sweetheart, Chica.
Senor Jordan.
You picked a bad hideout, Chica.
But I am not hiding. How did you find this place?
Thank Tanasi for that. Where is he?
He went away. Senor, I could not get out. I did not want to come
here. Sure you didn't. You wanted to go to Alexandria, remember? I got a couple of tickets to prove it.
Give them to me. I will go now.
Quickly. Not yet, Chica. And I got something else of yours. Did you forget these?
They are like rubies. Where did you get them?
Out of the stuff you left at Millie's.
But I do not understand. I have never seen these before.
It's too late for that, Chica. They want to tell me where the rest of the loot is?
It is you!
Tanasi.
Why did you come here, Jordan?
Ask Chica why I'm here.
I warn you, she's mine. Now you die!
Before he could draw the knife, I caught him just below the ribs. He doubled and I crossed one to his chin and stood him up. This time I was onto his style and I felt like fighting. I kept outside his hairy arms and swung from the ankles every time he lunged in. Tanasi was game, but the third time did it. He went down on his face.
Senor, what you do to Tanasi?
He'll keep right there, Chica. Now let's go.
Where do you take me?
Right to the police. You can take it from there. I took Chica down the stairs, told the clerk at the desk that the cops would be around for Tanasi. We went right to headquarters, where I handed her over to Sam Sabaya. From then on, she was mum. She wouldn't answer anything. Finally, Sam closed the cell door behind her. We hesitated there before going out.
Jordan, I must compliment you on your prompt action in this matter.
From you, that is a compliment, Sam.
You will understand that I knew from the beginning that your motivations were for the best.
Yeah, sure.
We still have the problem of finding out where the rest of the jewels are hidden. We can hardly hope that Chica will ever tell us.
Maybe Tanasi will talk.
My men have already picked him up, but if he talks, it will be the first time a gypsy ever told the police anything.
Yeah, see what you mean. Listen, leave me with Chica a couple of minutes, huh? Maybe she'll change her mind.
As you wish, Jordan. But she will be guarded very closely.
Yeah, suit yourself.
You see, I agree with the old gypsy saying, it is easier to hold an eel than a gitano.
Senor Jordan.
Yes, Chica?
You are making big mistake.
Sure. I did that to begin with.
You must believe me. Tanasi found me and he forced me to go to his place.
How do you explain the jewels?
I cannot explain them. I cannot tell you how they got with my things because I do not know.
Chica, don't you see that if you'll tell us where the rest of the jewels are hidden, you'll get off a lot easier?
But I don't know where they are. I stole nothing from my tribe.
Okay.
Oh, senor, senor. You are a very kind gentleman. You will not let them keep me in this place.
You asked for it, Chica.
Please, please. All my life, I have known only freedom. If they keep me here, caged up like an animal, I know I will not live.
Looks like you should have stayed with your tribe.
See? This is not the life that Petros promised me. You must help me, senor.
Just think over my advice. So long, Chica. I left her then, but her pleading eyes stayed with me. A lot different from the fiery eyes of the girl who danced in front of my cafe the day before. I tried to push them out of my mind, but a few things kept bothering me. Why she'd steal her wealth and jewels, and then show herself by dancing in the streets for a few piastres, was something I couldn't answer. The two steamship tickets in my pocket reminded me that Petros was waiting for her. That's when I shelled out some more of my own money for a long-distance call from the Tambourine to the Greek consulate in Alexandria.
Please repeat the name.
Varga. Petros Varga. Have you issued him a passport there?
Mr. Jordan, is this Varga a tall, slender-faced man with black hair and mustache?
Yeah, that fits him. What about it?
Petros Varga has not been issued a passport. In fact, he could not possibly get a passport to Greece or anywhere else.
You mean he hasn't been there?
Certainly not. He hardly dares to show his face in any consulate. Varga is an international thief wanted in a dozen countries.
That's the way it is.
Could you possibly be one of his victims, Mr. Jordan?
That remains to be seen, mister. Thanks for everything. All at once, I felt good again. I knew now that Chica was right. She knew nothing of the jewels. And there was just one way to clear her. Petrus Varga, who was loaded with hot jewels, but no passport to get him out of Egypt, which meant he must still be in Cairo. Now, there wasn't a chance of my finding him in that sprawling city, so he was going to have to find me. So I took a roll of bills out of my safe, borrowed a pair of dark glasses, wrapped a muffler up around my neck, put on a dirty Panama hat, and went down through the Muski Bazaar until I spotted a familiar character who called himself Shagriff.
What do you desire, Effendi?
You see these, Shagriff?
So very much money, Effendi.
Well, I got plenty more. I'm buying jewels.
Jewels? But why do you tell me?
I don't care where they come from. Get it?
Oh, but I have no knowledge of stolen jewels.
My room's over the rug shop at the corner. I don't ask questions.
But, Effendi, I know of no dishonest person.
Here, take this and get moving. Imshi.
Mutashaki, Effendi.
Yeah, that's all it took. I hurried to the room I'd rented for the day, and the procession started 5 minutes later. First, a scared Turk with a handful of sapphires. Next, a woman carrying a baby trying to peddle some pieces of broken glass. Next, a Dutchman with a diamond the size of your fist. I got rid of them one way and another and went on that way all afternoon. At the end of the fifth hour, I was about to call it quits when the door opened and Petrus Varga was standing before me.
You are the jewel fiend?
That depends. What have you got?
Have I seen you before?
You won't see me again. Show your stuff or get out.
How do I know I can trust you?
You don't.
All right, it must be cash.
For what?
Very well. How much for these?
Open it up.
Keep your hands away.
What are you scared of? Open it.
There. Gems of priceless value.
Yeah.
How much? Hurry.
I'll give you 500.
You stupid. They're worth 20,000.
For the risk I take, where do you get these?
You think I would tell you?
El Chacon, maybe?
How did you... That is nothing to you.
What are you scared of, Varga? Chica's taking the rap. You're in the clear, aren't you?
Jordan.
You're a big operator, they tell me. Big enough to steal a hoard and jewels and plant it on an innocent girl.
If you think I would tell you...
You don't have to. You showed up at Millie's place only to hide a few rocks in Chica's belongings. That's when I came along and you dreamed up the idea about the tickets to Athens. You didn't intend to use them at all. You could spare the money.
Stay where you are. You did not think I would come here without a gun.
Now use it, Varga. Kill me. Take your bag of rocks. But what do you think you'll find outside that door?
What do you mean?
Go ahead. You're not scared of a few gypsy knives in your back, are you?
You're lying. No one is there.
No? Then why wait? Shoot, Vargas.
Jordan, listen to me. I did it only for Chica. Help me get away from here. For her sake.
Okay. Give me the gun.
No! No, Jordan! Yes.
That's better. Come on, let's go.
No, not out there, Jordan, please. Not out there.
Cut it, Vargas. You're safe. Anyhow, till the police get their hands on you. And that's just where we're going. It took a little nudging, but we finally ended up at headquarters. Well, Sam personally let Chica and Tanasi out of their cells with a great sigh of relief. Wouldn't you know, right away, the two were in each other's arms. After telling me for the fifth time she'd learned her lesson, Chica went off with Tanasi toward their camp, both as happy as a gypsy. Me, I went back to the tambourine, a little wiser myself. I was sort of glad nobody was looking when I stooped and picked something up off my office floor. It was a half-wilted rose, but it looked real pretty, even in the beer mug where I stuck it.
Rocky Jordan, starring Jack Moyles in the title role, is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music by Richard Arant. Tonight's story was by Margaret Barnum, edited by Gomer Kuhl and Larry Roman. Now, here is our star, Jack Moyles.
Ladies and gentlemen, beginning next Sunday, August 7th, the Rocky Jordan series will be brought to you by Del Monte Tomato Products, the brand you trust for flavor in so many fine foods. So be sure to be listening next Sunday at 5 when...
Del Monte Foods presents Rocky Jordan and the story Gold Fever. Larry Thor speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Wheaties presents Night Beat. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, Night Beat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. My stories start in many different ways. This one began with greed and fear, and ended when two men started out for murder.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
If you don't mind, Wheaties and I are going to talk to four little boys in Philadelphia for a moment. Their names are Dennis, Donald, David, and Dean Joost. And their father's name is Eddie Joost, champion shortstop of the Philadelphia Athletics. Boys, I hear you all eat your Wheaties along with Dad in the morning, and I think that's swell. Because Dad needs that Wheaties energy to help him get through the old ball game, the way he hustles when he's on the field. We sure wouldn't want him to skip his Wheaties, would we? And it could happen. He's a pretty busy man. So keep setting him a good example, won't you? Keep eating your Wheaties and milk and fruit, and keep Dad eating his. Just tell him this if he happens to forget. Say, Dad, see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11, huh? Thanks, boys. Thanks a lot.
Tonight I didn't have to look for my story. It came over the teletype. A few lines of cold, impersonal print that told that a man had died. Charles Keller died today in the state penitentiary. Keller served 14 years of a 20-year sentence for armed robbery. The clacking stopped for a moment, as though the machine were taking a breath. Charles Keller. I thought of his wife, Molly, a quiet, patient woman who worked here in the building, scrubbing floors. Then the teletype started up again, writing a finish to a man's life. Keller died, still denying any knowledge of the $65,000 payroll robbery, a sensation of 14 years ago. Keller's death deepens the mystery of the money, which was never recovered. Well, that was all about Charles Keller. The teletype faded as I walked from the room to the elevator and down to the lobby. Tim, the night watchman, came toward me.
Evening, Mr. Stone.
How are you, Tim?
You're starting out kind of early, ain't you?
I guess so. Where's Molly?
I don't know. When I come on tonight, she wasn't here. Why?
Her husband died today.
Yeah, I heard it. Who's going to scrub the floors if she don't show up?
Who'll scrub the floors? Well, there's the sanitary viewpoint. She didn't send word, sick, or anything like that?
Not that I know of. She just ain't here, that's all.
Okay, you know where she lives, don't you?
Sure. Now, the first night she's missed in 14 years. Funny, ain't it?
Oh, sure. Very funny. Give me her address. I'd known Molly for as long as I'd worked on the Star. At first, people had pointed her out. Molly Keller, Charles Keller's wife, wife of a convict. But she scrubbed her floors and said nothing. Once a month, she'd go to visit her husband. And then the years passed, and Molly wasn't the wife of a convict anymore. She was just a scrub woman. But now her husband's death would bring it all back. There'd be those awkward attempts to be kind to her. And if I knew Molly, she wouldn't want that. That's why I went to see her.
Help you, mister?
Yes, I think so. Molly Keller lives here, doesn't she?
She ain't here now.
Well, where is she?
What's your name?
Stone, Randy Stone.
Wait a minute. That don't sound like any name she put down.
What?
You said Stone, huh?
Yeah, Stone.
I can't tell you where she is.
What have you got there?
Well, nothing you want. Now you go away. I gotta get some sleep.
Yeah, in a minute. Look, I'm Randy Stone, Chicago Star. Here's my press card.
I don't care about that. Molly gave me $50.
She did what?
Mister, you ain't one of the names, so I can't tell you where she is.
But I'm a friend of hers, and I've got to see her. Her husband died today, and I...
Oh. I didn't know that.
Well, you do now. Tell me where Molly is.
Well, Molly, know about her husband?
I don't know.
Well, okay, but when you see her, don't tell her it was me that told you.
All right, where is she?
Lake Drive Hotel.
Huh? The Lake Drive? Are you sure?
You asked me, I told you. Now that's all.
The Lake Drive Hotel, swank and plush. Visiting royalty had to show their crowns before they could get in. So I went there, I walked through the lobby, past the diamonds and the furs, and up to the desk where a clerk with a Harvard accent and a Vassa personality looked me over.
May I help you, sir?
Yes, I think so. I'm looking for a woman named Molly Keller.
Is she registered here, sir?
I don't think so. Molly Keller is, well, she's a scrub lady.
I beg your pardon?
A scrub lady, one of the great army of working people.
I suggest you try the servant entrance.
You forgot the sir.
If you'll excuse me.
Yes, this is important. I want to find Molly Keller.
The servant's entrance?
You're wasting the springtime of your youth repeating that. Now, all you have to do is go to the phone and check with the employees department, find out if there's a Molly Keller working there.
Very well. One moment, please.
Thank you.
Hello. This is the desk. Is there a scrub woman working here named Molly Keller? Thank you.
Well?
There's no one here by that name.
Maybe she used the name Mrs. Charles Keller.
Sir?
Mrs. Charles Keller.
But we have a Mrs. Charles Keller registered here.
Registered?
Certainly, in the Royal Suite.
The Royal Suite? When did she check in?
Really, sir, I cannot give out information about our guest.
Yes, all right. Will you call her, tell her I'd like to see her?
One moment, I must check something.
I hate to see you patter back and forth on your delicate little feet. What's up now?
Your name, sir?
Stone, Randy Stone.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. That is not one of the names Mrs. Keller gave me.
She gave you a list of names, too?
No one but these three men were to be shown up under any circumstances.
Well, ask her if she'll see me, Randy Stone. She knows me.
Very well, sir. When...
The clerk went to the desk phone. I told myself the woman in the Royal Suite couldn't be Molly Keller, and not at $100 a day plus tips. I half expected the clerk to come back and tell me Mrs. Charles Keller didn't know me.
Mrs. Keller, there's a gentleman here to see you. No, not one of the three. But he says his name is Randy Stone. Yes, Mrs. Keller, I'll send him up. Mrs. Keller will see you, Mr. Stone. The Royal Suite is 4A. The elevators are in the alcove to your right.
Thank you.
The elevators are...
Oh, thank you. I'll walk up. The air might clear my head.
Oui, monsieur? Oui, monsieur?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Randy Stone, Mrs. Keller.
Oui, monsieur Stone. You will please come in.
Thank you.
I will tell Madame Keller you are here.
All right, Colette. I heard him.
Oui, madame. In there, monsieur.
Thank you again.
Hello, Randy.
Hello, Molly.
Will Madame wish me any more?
No, I'll call the service desk when I need you.
Merci, Madame.
How'd you find me, Randy?
Did I?
But you're...
Yeah, I know. I'm here, but are you?
What do you mean?
What do you think I mean, Molly? Or should I say, Madam Keller?
What do you want?
I don't know. What are you doing here?
I live here.
Since when?
I registered tonight.
Uh-huh, that clears up the whole thing. You just walked in here and registered at $100 a day plus a French maid. What is all this?
Please go, will you?
Yeah, in a minute. This came over the teletype about an hour ago.
Charles?
Yeah.
They notified me.
You're not going up there?
Charles is dead. Why should I go up?
Look, there's something wrong. This doesn't make sense. I've known you for a long time. I've watched you. A woman for whom I had a lot of respect because she had a lot for herself.
A woman who broke her back and her hands for 14 years while her husband rotted in prison.
While you stuck by him?
Because I was a fool.
Well, then why didn't you divorce him?
Oh, I couldn't.
You couldn't? Why not?
Please go now. Don't ask any more questions.
Why not, Molly? Why are you afraid to have me ask questions?
What do you want, a story?
No.
Get out.
Molly.
What?
Where are you getting the money for, all this?
It's got nothing to do with you, Randy.
But it has everything to do with you and your husband.
He's dead.
Molly, that money from the robbery, the $65,000.
Leave me alone.
You know where it is, don't you? You've known for 14 years.
You don't know anything about it.
You've got it.
Get out.
Okay, Madam Keller, I'm sorry I called on you. I was looking for Molly Keller. The wrong number. Goodbye.
You're going to the police?
No, I won't have to. Another thing, Molly. I read about the case. There were other men in that robbery. You think they'll stand still and let you get away with this? There were three other men, Molly, and they...
They what?
Are those names that you left with the landlord and the clerk?
What about them?
Who are they?
All right, Randy. You want a story? I'll give you one. Here. The names and addresses of three men.
So?
You want a story, and I'll give you one. The biggest you've ever had. A murder story.
Murder?
Yes. You go to these men and tell them about me. Where I am, how I'm living.
If they're who I think they... No, I won't. It'll be your murder, Molly.
No, Randy, not mine.
Then whose?
I promise you, you'll find out before tomorrow.
General Mills is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
You know, tomorrow can be a real nice day. The sun can seem shinier, the air can seem crisper, the grass can seem greener. And you can get more enjoyment out of living if you want to. Break into that day with a bowl full of Wheaties. That's what I said. Wheaties with milk and the kind of fruit you specially like. Or Wheaties with milk and no fruit. Or just Wheaties. You think that's going pretty strong on Wheaties? Not really, it isn't. Because Wheaties are whole wheat. And what a powerful lot of whole wheat Wheaties are. Every Wheaties flake, a whole kernel of wheat. That's why a bowl full of Wheaties pops with so much high-stepping, day-brightening energy. Energy right after you get up from the breakfast table. Energy all morning long. Wheaties have it, and it's for you. Whole wheat goodness. Of course, you don't have to think about vitamins and minerals when you eat those Wheaties. Just pass that milk, fill that bowl, pull up a spoon, and get Wheaties happy. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. Spooning into sunny, whole wheat Wheaties. Try 'em for an awfully nice start on that nicer day I've been talking about. Tomorrow. See for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Breakfast of champions. Breakfast for you. And that's a promise. Indeed it is.
And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
That was all I got from Molly, a piece of paper with the names and addresses of three men written on it. I left her, I headed for the street, and I walked around thinking. A couple of times I started to toss away that paper, but it stuck to my fingers. A couple of times I headed for the precinct police station and stopped. What did I have? Zero. What could I get? A story, she said. Okay, Molly, let's see. The first address took me to a Harry Campbell, a gimlet-eyed pool hall tout. I interrupted his game.
Newspaper, huh? Well, what gives?
Hey, let's get away from the table.
Say it here, Mr. Stone, ain't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead. Nine ball, corner pocket.
This is about $65,000 and Charles Keller. You missed the shot, Harry. It was an easy one.
Yeah. Take my cue, Eddie. I got something to do.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, you. Come on. Now, what was that you said?
$65,000.
Keep going.
14 years ago, there was a payroll robbery. The money from it was never recovered. Somebody has it, Harry.
Why tell me?
I thought you'd like to know.
Why?
Charles Keller said he didn't get the money.
Oh, now, look, you come in here, give me a fast chorus about 65 G's I don't know nothing about.
But you're interested.
Anybody's interested in that much dough.
That's what I mean.
What's your angle, Stone? How come you found me? How come you knew where to find me?
Molly Keller told me. You don't know her, huh?
No.
Well, I thought maybe you did. Anyway, I interviewed her at her suite at the Lake Drive, and
Where?
The Lake Drive Hotel. She's registered in the Royal Suite, French maid and all. Yesterday, she was scrubbing floors.
You better go, Mr. Stone.
Okay. I'll see you around, Harry.
Yeah. I'll be waiting up for you.
Name number two was Bob Olson. He wasn't home, but I located him in an all-night beanery. He was behind the counter.
What'll yours be, mister?
Coffee.
Sure. Black?
Yeah.
Coffee black. Sugar?
I know, thank you, Bob.
I know you.
No, not yet.
How come you know my name?
Bob Olson, that right?
Yeah. How'd you know?
Oh, psychic, or maybe Molly Keller told me.
Huh?
I just come from Harry Campbell.
I don't know him.
Nor Molly Keller?
Never heard of her.
Mm-hmm. You just don't know the right people, Bob, or you'd know all about $65,000. Bob Olson played it straight, too, but there was the same look in his eyes I saw in Campbell's, hard and nasty. I left him with the same information I'd given Campbell. And then I headed for the third name on the list, Jim Humphreys.
Yeah, what do you want, Buster?
I'm looking for Jim Humphreys.
What for?
Is he here?
That depends. Are you a copper?
No, I'm a reporter. Randy Stone, Chicago Star.
What do you want?
You're, Mrs. Humphreys?
So I had bad luck. What do you want?
Who is that, Kitty?
A guy with a tie on. Nobody you'd know.
Oh, yeah? Who are you? What's your pitch?
The name is Randy Stone, Chicago Star.
What's the newspaper guy got to talk to me about?
14 years and $65,000.
Jim, what's he talking about?
I don't know yet. Come on in. Kitty.
What?
Get in the other room, close the door, and stay there.
Listen, I want to know what's
Shut
going
up.
On.
Now, go ahead. Get in the other room. Now, what's with you, Stone?
Charles Keller died in prison today. That mean anything?
No, never heard of him.
Never heard of his wife either, huh?
No. Mm-hmm. Hey, what are you doing?
Looking around. This isn't the best place in the world, is it, Jim?
It's good enough.
One quarter of 65,000 is about 16,000. You didn't get anything, did you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, everybody is innocent. Olson, Campbell. You know them, Jim?
No.
Well, I guess Molly Keller sent me on a wild goose chase.
Molly Keller?
Yeah, she's living at the Lake Drive. For 14 years, she scrubbed floors while her husband was in prison, but now she's...
Jim!
Get back in there.
I ain't. You heard what this guy says. The Lake Drive Hotel, she's living there.
You flathead, shut your trap.
I won't, do you hear me?
I'm telling you, get back in that room and stay in there.
See, I've been living in this crumb joint. Look at me. Mister, you look at me.
I am, kidding.
So I'm ugly,
No, huh? Not at all.
No, I ain't. But I gotta live in this trap. Me, I could have had lots of things, but I ain't. I've been taking this guff because he tells me that someday...
Keep it shut, I tell you. Keep it shut.
I've been keeping quiet for long enough. For 5 years, I've been keeping quiet because you told me that someday I...
I told you. Now get out of here. Get in the other room.
Now, wait a minute.
Keep out of this, you. Kitty, you heard me.
Just a bird in a cage. And not a gilded one.
Mister, I don't want to hear nothing else from you. You got a couple of seconds to get out of here before I slap you all over the neighborhood. What do you say?
Oh, it's clear. Okay, so long, Jim.
Come back again, and I'll kill you.
Well, there I had it. Three men who knew about the robbery, who'd like to get their hands on the money, but who had to stay undercover and keep quiet until... Until what? The answer to that lay with Molly Keller, and I wanted the answer. 20 minutes later, I was back at the Lake Drive Hotel. This time, I didn't go to the desk. I slipped through the lobby, up the stairs, and down the carpeted hallway to Molly's suite.
Randy.
Hello, Molly. Want company?
Yeah. Come in.
Oh. You've already got company.
Take it easy, Stone.
Yeah, guns forced me into a sort of composure, Olson. Molly.
Thanks, Randy. Thanks for sending him here.
Sit down again, Molly.
Of course, Harry.
Now, once more, where's the dough?
You expect me to tell you, Bob?
You will or else.
Molly, if you got any sense at all, you'll tell them they can't get away.
I know.
You're crazy. Why did you let them in?
I wanted to. Bob Olson and Harry Campbell and Jim Humphreys. Where's Jim?
Never mind him. Now listen, Molly. You ain't gonna get hurt if you know where the money is.
No.
Molly.
First one, then the other, like two jackals. I knew they'd come, Randy.
Where is it, Molly?
Not yet, Harry. There's still one more to come. Jim Humphreys. When he gets here, I'll tell you.
You'll tell us now.
No. And if you kill me, you'll never find out. Will you? You'll never find out. You had to make a deal with each other. Now wait and make one with Humphreys. Randy.
What do you want?
How long ago did you leave Jim?
20 minutes.
He should be here by now.
We ain't waiting, Molly. We ain't waiting.
Campbell, you...
Stay sitting, Stone. Watch him, Bob.
I am.
Molly, we ain't kidding. We ain't kidding. All right, Molly.
It's no use, Harry. You can do anything you want to do. You won't find out anything until Jim Humphreys gets here.
And there we sat, Campbell, Olson, Molly, and I, and the minutes ticked by. I watched Molly. She never took her eyes off the two men. There was no expression on her face but hate, a bitter hate that could almost be felt. And then...
It's been an hour. We ain't waiting no longer.
All right, Harry. I guess Jim isn't coming.
Molly, you're gonna tell us. Now.
Yeah. I will, Bob.
Stay sitting, Molly.
You want the money, don't you, Harry?
You got it here?
Over there. I'll get it for you.
Go ahead. Bob, watch this guy.
Right.
You waited 14 years for this. 14 years. So have I. All right. Here. Here's the money. Take it. Take it, Harry.
This bank book? What are you giving us?
The money. Take it.
Why, you stinking. This is your bank book. And nothing. No money.
14 years of saving for this minute, don't you see? I never had the money. Charles never had it.
Don't give me that. What about this joint?
The money for all this was mine, penny by penny, dollar by dollar. I saved for this moment.
You're lying, Molly, you're
lying. Look at that last withdrawal, Harry. $512 taken out yesterday to pay for this, to bring you out like jackals.
Where's the money, Molly? Where is it?
14 years ago, three men got $65,000 in a robbery, but there was a fourth man who had nothing to do with it. He was framed. Framed by one of the other three.
You're nuts.
No, Bob, just a little smarter than you. The man who framed my husband was smart, too. He made you believe there was a fourth man who got the money and hid it. Now, think back. The money was hidden. Then it disappeared.
You're lying, Molly. You're lying.
Am I? If I'm lying, where's Jim Humphreys? Why isn't he here? You two are, but he isn't, because he knows where the money is. He's got it. He's got it.
Humphreys.
You know where he is.
Yeah, we know where he is.
Well, then, get him. You'll have to kill him, but that won't make any difference, will it? Not for all that money. Get him.
Molly, if this is a frame, so help me, we'll get you.
Find out, Harry. Go to him. Get the money. It's yours, isn't it? Get it. You waited 14 years, afraid to ask, afraid to talk, but now...
What about him? Stone.
He won't stop you. He won't stop you because I won't let him.
Harry, watch her.
He'll stay here. Go ahead, Harry. Bob, I can use a gun, too.
Molly... Molly, this better not be a frame.
You'll find Jim Humphreys and the money.
Come on, Harry.
I guess you would shoot me, wouldn't you, Molly?
If I have to.
And this is my story?
Yeah. Please don't get up, Randy.
You're sending two men out to kill a third. Why?
Because this is what can build up inside of a woman for 14 years.
It'll help your husband, won't it?
Don't come near me, Randy.
So Jim Humphreys will be killed. What about you? You're as much a murderer as they'll be.
And glad of it.
Molly, give me that gun. Let me call the police.
No.
It's not too late.
It's always too late. It was too late for Charles. He died. No one helped him because he had a record. No one believed him.
It's not too late, Molly.
Don't, Randy, don't.
Killing will help, won't it? One man's death will bring back those 14 years, won't it? It'll make everything all right. Oh, sure, an eye for an eye. That's why the whole world is going blind. Kill or be killed. Live in a jungle.
Shut up.
Join the pack, Molly. Run with the jackals. You're crying, Molly. Why? Why?
Let me alone, Randy.
Molly, I'm going to the phone and I'm going to call the police.
No, don't.
You can shoot if you want to.
Oh, please. Please don't, Randy.
Take your choice, Molly. Be like those two who just left, or be yourself.
I know what I want. What I've waited for.
Yes, 14 years you've waited. It's a long time, Molly, a long time to build up an act of violence. One that can't bring back a single day or change a minute that's gone past. You've got what you want. Those three men live in fear and hatred, mistrust and suspicion. Now tonight you gave them in 1 hour the bitterest pill they could swallow, the realization that they've wasted 14 years. You didn't, you knew. That 1 hour is all you need. Go ahead and shoot if you want to, Molly. Hello, get me the police, quickly.
All right, Randy. All right.
Welcome back, Molly. Well, there's the story of Molly Keller and 14 years, but it's more than that. It's a story of people. Mix them up all you want, put them in any situation, and what they do depends on what they are inside. You can't change that. Maybe it's all to the good. It gives a guy a starting point when he begins to wonder how things will turn out for all of us. Copy, boy.
You are listening to Night Beat on the Wheaties Big Parade. And here's our star, Frank Lovejoy, with a string around his finger. What's that for, Frank?
Oh, that's for Wheaties. I've got to get some before I go home. We're out.
Out of Wheaties?
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Well, the kids, you know.
Oh, the kids ate them up?
Well, no.
Oh, you had company.
Well, no, doggone it. I ate them up myself. I had a bowl full of breakfast this morning. It was so good I had another bowl full. First thing I knew, I'd finished the box.
And then you forgot to say you'd done it.
How'd you know?
It's happened to me. Get two boxes tonight, Frank. The only way.
Okay, I'll do it. Night.
Good night, Frank. And don't run out of Wheaties at your house, folks. Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and edited by Larry Marcus. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Russell Hughes, with music by Frank Wirth. The part of Molly was played by Sarah Selby. Others in tonight's cast were Joan Banks, Wilms Herbert, Peter Leeds, Wally Mayer, and George Offerman Jr. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also on Tuesday, that's tomorrow night, to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Forest fires aren't born, they're made. 9/10 of all forest fires in this country are touched off by the carelessness of forest travelers. Don't you be one of the guilty persons who kindle 9 out of 10 forest fires. Follow these simple rules for woodland traveling. Carefully crush out all cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. Break all matches in two after using. Double-check campfires by drenching them twice with water. Always find out the law before using fire in the forest. Night Beat came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. There's more from Rocky Jordan, Night Beat, past episodes of this podcast and all the others, all at relicradio.com. Got a shoutcast stream there with even more old-time radio, lots to listen to. Thanks to your support. If you'd like to help out, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Thank you, as always, those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.